on this now Thursday morning. Welcome in. Your overnight oasis is back. Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan, taking you up until 5 a.m. The warm-up show then. Plenty to do, lots to discuss over the next 5 hours. And certainly want to hear from you at 888-808-1019. We've got all the NBA as we all wait. We're playing the waiting game to find out who the Knicks will play, when the Knicks will play, which Knicks will play. They came out with that report about OG that he's expected back in time for game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. I assumed he was going to be back by the Eastern Conference. We're talking about the last series. Do we hold him out for game three? Do we hold him out for game four? We all just assumed, especially since the Eastern Conference Finals don't feel like they're starting anytime soon. But we'll get into the NBA stuff with the Cavaliers' win last night over the Pistons in Detroit. We'll get into all the Knicks stuff as well, because they are the story right now, even though they're kind of put on ice. Kind of have to wait it out. Could you guys, between the Pistons and Cavaliers, figure this out so we can get back to Knick games every other night? That was a lot of fun. That's the only downside of this dominant run by the Knicks in this year's postseason, where they're basically just stomping everybody along the way. But let's start things off, I guess, with the New York Mets. Because there's been a lot of times, there's been a lot of shows, there's been a lot of conversations about this way this Mets season has begun. And I'm not going to paint too rosy of a picture that's saying that all of a sudden the Mets are back. The Mets are rolling again. All good news, because with the Mets, it never feels like it can be all good news. But last night they go out, another extra inning game. Do the Mets lead the majors in extra inning games? It feels like every third game with the Mets, I guess it's because they just don't score. But it just feels like they're playing extra inning games at an unusually high rate. But another extra inning game, they go out and are able to get the job done, beat the Tigers 3-2. So the Mets now 17-25 on the season, but in the month of May, certainly playing somewhat better. That would not be too hard to do, considering the month of April, they were the worst team in baseball. But this is kind of what you were hoping to see. And look, this has been a very negative time for Met fans. Between the way last season ended, the offseason that you had with not bringing back Pete, and then going into this season where, even with the additions, Met fans were not really all that on board with most of them. Maybe they liked a move here or there. But one of the common complaints that Met fans have had is that it's very hard to root for these guys, because most of these guys feel like kind of like mercenaries, right? Guys who just came here essentially for the money, or guys you were able to get essentially for the money. Like the reason why the Mets were able to get Luis Robert Jr. is because he's making $20 million, and the Mets are the one team that was willing to take on that contract. They can afford to do that because they don't really work with a budget the way other teams do. So it was not just that the Mets were bad. It was not just that the Mets were boring. But it was not guys that you have grown up watching for the most part, right? Like a lot of the guys that have come here, especially in the lineup between Bichette and Robert and Polanco, you know, all the additions, these are all new guys who you don't really have any connection to. And it would be one thing if they got off to a good start, or if those individual players, forget about even the team getting off to a good start, if those individual players got off to a good start, which really none of them have. Nobody on offense has gotten off to a good start. Even the guys who have been here have not gotten off to the greatest of starts. And even the guys that have been here, it doesn't really feel like, because they have been part of the offseason narratives as well, that they are beloved players, like players like Francisco Lindor or players like Juan Soto. It doesn't feel like the Met fan has the connection with those guys. Maybe I'm misreading the situation. But given the fact that the breakup of the core in the offseason came about the way it did, and Pete's not back and Nemo's being traded away, I think a lot of Met fans look at the guys who are here and supposedly the team leaders as breaking up the core to get a better clubhouse chemistry or something along those lines. So the fact that this season got off to the start that it did, and the one thing that I've heard repeatedly is that Met fans, you know, I just don't like the guys that they brought in. How am I supposed to root for these guys that they brought in? Well, it's very hard to do that when they're new and they're not producing. And in the case of some of them, like Robert Jr. and Polanco, you haven't seen them anytime recently. They weren't performing when they were there. And, how are you going to get on board with those guys? But what you've seen here maybe the last couple of days, and again, it's 2 days for A.J. Ewing, but maybe this can be a little bit of a spark. Maybe this can be something that gets the team pointed in the right direction for a short period of time. And that's what the Mets kind of need to do. They need to get the ship pointed in the right direction so that it doesn't go completely under the water here by the time you get to June. Because we went through it before. The Mets, very favorite. It doesn't seem that way based on how they played and based on what their record is. But you look at the opening month or two of the schedule, it's been a favorable schedule. They've not played. Now, there's not that many great teams in the American League to begin with, but they've not played a ton of great teams to start. But starting on June 1st, that's when the schedule gets far more difficult. That's when you get to see the Braves and the Phillies, who will probably get things turned around by that point, and some other good teams. The Cubs are in that group. So outside of the Dodgers and the Cubs, the Mets have not really played any good teams. And against those two teams, they didn't win a single game. So it's really important for the Mets, maybe not to roll off 8 in a row or to win series, but you got to get things pointed in the right direction, because you can't have the conversation of having a season until you get back to shouting distance of 500. Once you get back to that area, all right, then maybe you can buy in. But in a season where there has not been much to enjoy, even the good things, even like when Nolan McClain goes out there and pitches great, team doesn't score any runs for him. So it's kind of hard to feel like, hey, we got Nolan McClain rolling along. Yeah, they don't score any runs for him, and they end up losing games 3-1, 4-2. So there's not been a lot to cheer for. So maybe with the emergence now of Carson Benge the last couple of nights, certainly has done so defensively at times, starting to do things offensively, maybe this is the way out of things. Maybe this is the blip. Am I running to FanDuel to start betting? No, I'm not that optimistic about it just yet. But you have to kind of hope that things can get pointed in the right direction if you're a Met fan, and at least have something to root for. There's not been much to root for in this lineup. You know, even when guys have had a decent day or two, it's very fleeting. So what you've seen here out of Ewing since he got called up, providing the spark that he did 2 nights ago, and then Carson Benge with the 3 hits last night and getting a win, maybe these are signs that the Mets have a little bit of life and can get pointed in the right direction. But like so much that has happened with the Mets this year, even when they get good news, it doesn't feel like that good news can last, because with the Mets this year, it feels like there's always something. Even on a night where you get a nice extra inning win and excitement at the ballpark, and fans can drive home feeling a little bit better, and having some homegrown guys to kind of check in on and watch and root for and feel good about the direction of your organization moving forward. It's not just the mercenaries. It's not just the Bo Bichettes or Polanco, whenever the heck he's going to return, if he ever does. Or Luis Robert Jr., whenever he's going to return. Or Marcus Semien, if he ever gets moving in the right direction. I don't know. Don't have high hopes. I don't know. Maybe you need to call up more. Maybe bring up the entire farm. Bring up the entire minor leagues. They can't be much worse than some of these guys. Maybe that's what the Mets need to get pointed in the right direction. But it always feels like there's something. And the fact that they got back what seems to be positive news on Juan Soto, maybe that's a sign that things maybe are turning around. I'll believe it when I see it, because when he went down and fouled that ball off his ankle, you thought to yourself, oh boy, here we go. Here we go again with the Mets. And this, after getting the news about Alvarez, here we go again with the Mets. It feels like it's always something with this Mets team. And that's the sign of a bad team. That's the sign of a team that's going absolutely no play. You know, the old line about every team wins 60, every team loses 60, and what you do with the other 60 is how it all shakes out. Generally with bad teams, it's not just one thing. Now with the Mets, it's generally been the offense. So the fact that they're able to scratch out three runs, it's like an onslaught. But with bad teams, it's always something. And at least so far this year with the Mets, that's been the case. It's always something. If the pitching shows up, the hitting doesn't. And that's generally been the case. But on days where the offense shows up, there's been times where the pitching is not held up. There's been times where the bullpen is not held up. It's been times where the defense has made a mess of things. So the news on Juan Soto is that he is day-to-day. I would think with the day game tomorrow that it would be unlikely that he would play. And then you go into the series on Friday against the Yankees, and then maybe he will be ready for that. But, you know, for Juan Soto, one of the things that you thought you were getting with him was this is a guy who's not just an offensive dynamo. And that's really what it is. His superpower is not necessarily home runs or batting average. It's getting on base and not using up outs. This guy is incredible. He's got an incredible batting eye, and he is able to get on base and not use up outs. So to have him in the middle of your order, not only is he driving in runs, but he's scoring runs as well. You've not really seen that so far this year, even though the overall numbers don't look terrible. You know, 263, 35% on base, 444 slugging. They're not prototypical type Juan Soto numbers. But the beauty of Juan Soto is he plays every day. He's always in there. And yet already so far this year, that superpower has not been what you were hoping for. And that's the thing that the Mets had going into the season that was a positive, was they had two guys who played all the time. Juan Soto plays all the time. Francisco Lindor plays all the time. And that has not been the case so far this year. So, look, it's a positive. Things maybe are moving in the right direction. And hopefully that Juan Soto is not going to be out for any long period of time. And it is going to be just day-to-day. And if he misses a game or two, that's about it. Because the Mets need to, they don't have that many options in terms of supplying offense. You know, like the A.J. Ewing move, I think some Met fans took it as an insult that it was a desperation move. But that's kind of where the Mets are at. They are desperate. You know, they're looking for guys to provide some level of offense on this major league club, and they're all getting paid pretty well. You know, outside of the young guys, everybody's getting paid pretty well, and nobody's been able to supply that so far. So, yeah, it is a desperation move. But you know what? If it works, who cares? So, look, I don't know. Maybe A.J. Ewing will come up here and have a hot month, but maybe he's not fully ready for the major leagues at this point. We'll see. But right now, it's about stemming the tide and stemming the bleeding. Stop the bleeding a little bit. So if you can ride a hot young player for a week, it gives the fans something to root for, and it gives you some level of production. So if you want to look through an optimistic lens, Ewing coming up and doing what he's done, Benj coming through, Soto maybe not being hurt long term, those are your positives, because you need to start scoring some runs. And until the Mets offense starts getting squared away, and more than, you know, like Bo Bichette had a hit last night and drove in a run, and that's great. Until you start to see the Bo Bichette we thought we were getting. Like, this guy was supposed to be like a hit machine, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't going to drive in, he's not going to be a home run slugger, but he was going to be bat to ball, you know, left field to right, you know, hitting the ball all over the ballpark, and we have not seen that guy. We've not seen him get hits that are hit hard consistently. And for us to be now, you know, pretty well into May, and he's still hitting 224 when that's his superpower, is not exactly great. So I don't want to get carried away day in and day out. The signs are slightly better in May, but that's only because April was as bad as it was. But I guess at this point, as you're getting close to mid-May now, you look for whatever positives you can find. And a win is a positive. The young players are a positive. And the fact that it doesn't look like Soto is going to be lost for another month, that might be the biggest positive yet. 888-808-1019, the telephone number, 888-808-1019. Let's get some phone calls in. We'll start things off with Phil is in Sheepshead Bay. Phil, first up on the fan.
Gordon, yeah. I watched your game. I noticed, you see, Juan Soto hasn't been the same since he came back from his injury. And I'll explain why. I think he's like 4-for-33. He's not. He's hitting squibs in the infield. For some reason, I don't know, he can't judge or he got caught in between strikes. He's not striking the ball the way he used to. Something's definitely wrong. I don't know if your organization knows and they're not revealing it. But I would say even before he fouled the ball off his ankle, he hasn't been looking good at all. I also want to make another point.
Okay.
The Mets have to come up with a decent pitcher. I don't care where they get them from the minors somewhere. Guys that'll give them 5-6 innings. This guy, Scott, is good, but he can't make it. Like after 4 innings, I don't know what happens to them.
Well, he's coming off an injury. He's working his way back. I think he's actually been, I don't know, I've actually been pleasantly surprised. I know he doesn't go deep into games because it's kind of desperation mode. And you know, Singa, you can't rely on him. You can't rely on Peterson. So you're looking for somebody to be able to go out there and at least give you a chance. And he gave you a chance tonight for how long he was able to go.
All right. But what about the deal with Alvarez? Every year he can't stay on the field.
Yeah, he's hurt a lot. He's a very streaky player, and there's times where you see him and you're like, man, this guy's going to be a stud. But we've been saying that for a while, and he's never turned out to be a stud.
You could say it from now till doomsday, and he still can't hit a breaking pitch. I'll leave you with that. Let's go Knicks.
All right, there you go, Phil. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go Knicks. Let's go Knicks to the game. I'd like to go to the game sometime soon, you know? It doesn't feel like we're going to have a game anytime soon, but let's go Knicks. And there is some, like, I know it doesn't seem like that big a deal because the Cavaliers won last night. So they're now up 3-2. I'm rooting for the Cavaliers to close it out at 6 because obviously the home court advantage is important and James Harden in a big spot. I'd like to, I feel like the Knicks are good to go against either of those teams. But certainly I like that advantage. We've already beaten we've beaten the Pistons too, but we've beaten the Cavaliers in the playoffs before. I'm not really scared about Donovan Mitchell in a big spot. I'm not scared about James Harden in a big spot, but I get the feeling there's going to be a game seven. It's too neat. It's too easy. And I don't like the fact I'd rather have, there's a thing about having some time off to rest up and, heal the wounds, but then it feels like there's a little bit too much time off. And it almost feels like at this point, with the amount of time off whether the series starts, I guess the possibilities are Sunday or Tuesday, I believe. If you go into that game one, especially at the Garden, after the amount of time that the Knicks have had off, the fact that the team that they will be playing is coming through either a hard-fought 6-game series of the Cavaliers or possibly a 7-game series with either team, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the Knicks to win that first game right out of the box. There's no easing into it, right? Like, it's all great that they've been able to basically curb stomp everybody along the way here between the first two series. That's great. That don't carry over into the next series. And all of a sudden, that game one, whenever that is, there's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure on the Knicks to go out there and handle their business because they are now overwhelming favorites to go to, at the very least, the NBA Finals. With the start that they have gotten off to and the way they have just dismantled teams. And I think we still now own Philadelphia. That's our arena. If the Knicks want to play it somewhere else now, that's like their practice facility. If they want to go down to Philadelphia and practice, they can do that. They just own that territory now. That's Knicks territory now. They planted the flag and it's theirs. They own it. But it is a little concerning that there's this much time off. Like, yeah, time off, rest up. Yeah. You go into that game one now, and the amount of time off, rest versus rust, that term will be used a lot whenever the Eastern Conference Finals finally get underway.